I'll be glorified, Lord, in our gathering. Be glorified in our lives. Just be glorified, because there is nobody that is greater, bigger, stronger, more loving, more kind, more forgiving, more awesome than you are. And the people of Destiny today say, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you for being here. You can be seated. And to all those of you that are joining us online this morning, you are welcome. We're glad that you are joining us, part of the church here. And of course, we'll always look to welcome you here in our first service or our second service, because when we've done this, we do it all over again. Only to pretty well normally to a full house, don't we, in the second service as well. Good to see you. God bless you. Willy Buanji. Dilly Buino is the answer to that. Go on, let's have a go. Dilly Buino, you say. I say Muli Buanji, and you say Dilly Buino. I'm asking you, how are you? And you're saying, I'm very, very well, fine, thank you. Or if in Yorkshire, and for those of you that might be watching from Africa, this is going to sound like a foreign language. At O-rate. O-rate then, or something like that. And you're okay, aren't you? God bless you. We just had an unbelievably awesome trip. I know we've been saying to everybody, it feels like every time we come back from a trip, we're saying it was the best. Well, last time when I said that, I was telling you the truth. This time when I tell you that, I'm telling you the truth. We ended up speaking to at least minimum 700 DCI pastors over the three locations in those, out of four nations. We did conferences in two of those nations. People came from Congo, people came from Mozambique. And particularly the one in Malawi was the largest gathering of DCI pastors that we have ever had in our history. It was absolutely mind-boggling. And we give glory to God for that, yeah. Somebody was talking to me yesterday and then again today to say, you know, I believe that I'm born to see a revival, okay? We want to see it. I want to see it in my own backyard first. But you know where I just was? I'm starting to look at this and say, something, ladies and gentlemen, is going on there. For what has happened, and with all of the troubles of pandemic and recession and everything else that has happened in the middle of this, what is happening there, I think is, well, let's give it some time and we'll see. But I think that there is the stirrings of revival happening, which is absolutely incredible. We packed up and we got home. Unlike Dawn, our baggage came with us. The only thing I left in Africa was my voice. But we're going to do, as they say in Yorkshire, we're going to do our best. Is that okay? And we've come back and came back Wednesday afternoon. We're in the office Thursday, Friday, and we're carrying on this week again. Not because we are martyrs, but because we've got a very busy weekend coming up next weekend. It's going to be awesome. I hope you're going to come. You're sitting at home today, but next week you need to be here if you possibly can, all those of you that are watching online, because we're going to have two tremendous celebrations. 70? It's not true. Well, maybe it is true. I can't preach non-truth from the pulpit, can I? Okay. 50 years we're celebrating being full-time in the ministry. 24 years we are celebrating Destiny since the beginning of that. We've got a lot to give thanks to God for. Amen? And, you know, these little cards are just a prompter. They're not just cards to say, oh, I thank God for my cat. Okay? I mean, thank God for your cat. But they're thank God for something that means something to you from the church that you're part of, that we can come and give an offering of thanksgiving to God. And so we're going to stay with it all week. And then after that, we're going to take a celebratory break. If we don't take a break, we'll break. You know that, don't you? So in the week following that, for a few weeks, we're having a golden jubilee break. Is that all right? Will you let us off? But thank God for the great team that is here. You've done a great job, all of you guys. Over the last 3 weeks, I honor you, proud of you all. Thank you so much. You've done a great job. And I know that the team that is in place, and you know, that's my specific role apostolically is to develop a team that really serves our church very, very well. This is not a one-man ministry, and it's not about me. It's about the team that is really serving. You're part of that team. But I suppose in particular, I'm highlighting the pastors and the elders of our church for the job that they've done and will be doing while we're away a couple of weeks following the anniversary. But I'm afraid you've got me this week and next. So hold your breath. Don't worry, I'm going away again soon. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us now. We pray. Our subject today is still standing strong. Now, this is not about me having a crisis because I'm nearly 70, that I'm still standing on my own 2 feet. Life can be difficult from time to time, can't it? Doesn't life throw stuff at you? Okay, 2 of us, 3 of us, yeah. If life has never thrown stuff at you, I always say this, watch out, it's coming your way. To stand, there's many verses in the Bible about standing. To stand simply means don't fall down, or don't get knocked over, or don't wobble to the point where life makes you so dizzy that you actually faint and collapse under the stresses of life. If you've never had those moments, well, thank God for you, I've certainly had plenty. To stand means, there's a picture in the Bible about the man who built his house on the rock and the storms came. The man who built his house on the sand, the storm came. Only one stood when the storm came. We want to be those people that stand, amen? Life can be tough, and too much tough can bring us to the point where we crumble in a heap and we say, God, I don't think I'm ever going to stand up again. It's into that moment of feeling helpless and hopeless that God wants to speak to us today and say, you can stand again. And this time you can stand and stay standing. And we're going to look at the Word of God to find out how. Isn't it good that God is so good? You know, if I'd have been God, I'd have given up with me a long time ago. But God hasn't given up on me. And He's not given up on you. Even sometimes when I've fallen over, I've sat down, I've crumbled in a heap, God keeps coming back to whisper me and says, stand up again, Ian. Stand up. Get up. It's time to stand up again. Because He doesn't punish us because you wobbled. He doesn't overlook us for the future just because we fainted on the way. He doesn't love us less because we doubted. He reaches out to us and says, come on, we're going to help you to stand, whatever. Let's read the Word of God together, shall we? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start from verse 10. This is a very familiar passage, normally referred to as being the armor of God. I'm going to refer to it today as instructions on how to stand strong. So Ephesians chapter 6, 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your, say it with me, stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand, the next word is stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. A list of 7 things that we can do that will help us to stand in troubled times and to still stay standing. Let's go through them very quickly. The first of those items on that armor, they're a picture from the Roman soldier. The children of Israel at that time, Israel, would have been very used to seeing the Roman soldiers walking up and down the streets of their towns. They knew what they looked like. They knew what it was there for. And so when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he used that picture as an illustration. And the illustration is, number one, put on your belt of truth. Now, this means that if you know the truth, that truth that you know will set you free. But if you don't know that truth, you're not going to walk in the freedom that knowing the truth gives you. You know, I remember preaching about this one time, and it's a few years ago now, and I was in Africa, and I said, it's dangerous to walk out without your belt on. And I've got all these pastors looking at me, expecting some deep theology. And I said, the danger of walking out without your belt in is your trousers are going to fall down. And then you're going to be embarrassed and you're going to feel vulnerable. And you know what? When we walk into life, if we haven't got the belt of truth, the understanding of truth, we're going to walk out embarrassed. We're going to find ourselves with our trousers down. And we're going to find ourselves in a place where it's like, oh, I really wish that I'd known then what I needed to know. It is deep theology, isn't it? Yeah? Tighten up your belt, boys. It's not a good... I've just lost a little bit of weight whilst I was in Africa, and I said to Rachel this morning, I had to try three belts on to find a belt, and it's still stuck it out here, and too long, because I've lost some in here, and it's like, it's not holding me up well enough. And you get embarrassed. So many Christians have got embarrassed because they hit a moment of life, and they said, I'm sure there's a verse about this, but we didn't know it. We need to know what the Word of God is. We need to tighten that belt of knowing the truth about God, knowing the truth about ourselves, knowing the truth about life, knowing the truth about future, knowing the truth about how we break through on the problems that come to us. When we know the truth, we're set free. The devil will come and accuse you, but when you know the truth, you're going to say, you ain't going to accuse me anymore. When we know the truth about the circumstances that we're in, it's hard at work, it's hard in the family, it's hard in our own head, it's hard in our health and strength, but when we know the truth, that God is with us, He's never going to fail us, He's never going to forsake us, He is going to heal us, He is going to provide for us, He is going to be our protection. When we know the truth about these things, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack no good thing. When we know the truth, we tighten our belt and we say, I'm not going to get pushed over because of that circumstance. Amen? That was number one. Number two is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate comes here, it protects your heart. You know as well as I know that if you get your heart hurt, your emotions hurt, your love hurt, your feelings damaged, then you're more likely to want to go to bed and sleep than think about standing. You cave in on the inside, don't you? We need to protect, the Bible tells us that we need to protect our heart because it is the wellspring of life. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there is a righteousness here that talks about, that could refer to our own integrity, that we actually need to live right and then it'll be okay. But actually, I think this verse is particularly talking about the righteousness that God gives us, that is brought and bought for us because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He comes to exchange our old life and our old failings and comes to give us His new life. And we stand today. I stand today, so do you, in His righteousness. We put on His righteousness. There's a breastplate of righteousness that is not there because I'm a goody-goody. I have a breastplate of righteousness to put on today, and so do you, because Jesus loved us enough. His grace was sufficient enough to go and die for us so that He could then bring to us His new life. The devil might want to remind you of your past failings, but I want to tell you, every time the devil whispers down this ear and says, you're a failure, the Holy Spirit will come and whisper down this ear and say to you, yes, you were, but you've now been forgiven. Yes, you were, but now this is a new life. Yes, you were, but the old has gone, the new has come. Yes, you were, but... And we need to know who we're going to listen to. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that says to you, you are a new creation. You are forgiven. You've been renewed. You are the one who is able to stand because you're putting on the breastplate of not your goodness, but His goodness. Not your righteousness, but His righteousness. And we are clothed with garments of praise because of that. Hallelujah. Put on your breastplate of righteousness. When you do, and life comes and wants to push you over, and you're feeling like you're going to fall down, you say, hang on a minute, God has put His righteousness in me. The devil can't get hold of me. I'm not going to fall down underneath this because I have in place. I'm guarding my heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Learn how to speak good things to your heart. Don't speak, I am not loved. Speak, I am loved. Don't speak out the negative thing. Nobody likes me. Speak out the good things. Jesus loves me, you know, and I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh, by the way, people, at least speak positive things. Sometimes we feel like we've come to the end. You've not come to the end, my brother, sister. You are not at the end, nowhere near. God has made a making a way for you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you to give you hope and a future. We need to speak about the righteousness of God on our hearts. tough times, yes, I'm not denying that. We all have them. But keep the breastplate of righteousness in place. Guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. Number three, a third item of the armor is this: your feet, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I spent a long time. I had this message in my heart before I went to Africa, so I've traveled a lot of miles with this message in my heart, sitting on planes, sitting in an airplane, in airport lounges, thinking about it, thinking. And sometimes she said to me, "What are you thinking about?" And say my sermon. She thought, "Oh, okay, I could see it going over and over in your mind." And I was thinking, you know, shoes are important for us to stand. I know in Africa, these guys seem to, in Malawi particularly, they seem to be able to run around unhindered by not having shoes on. We saw some guys playing football, kicking the ball really hard. I'm thinking, like, if I kick that ball with no shoes on, I'd be crippled for the rest of my life. But under normal circumstances, you know that shoes are important to help you to stand. The Roman soldiers, they understood that, which is why they had very heavily protected shoes that would help you. If you've ever walked on gravel or on a stony beach, you know it's pretty difficult to walk. To have a good stand, you need to wear good shoes. You need to have a firm foothold. What is the foothold that we have? It is the gospel of peace. Gospel means good news. Peace is what Jesus brings to your heart. When you're in a trouble moment and the devil wants to push you over, you can stand and say, "I'm not going to get pushed over. I've got my feet on the rock, who's Christ Jesus. And by the way, this gospel, this good news is peace. You want to bring trouble, but I'm declaring peace over my life." And that's something we've got to do. We just got to say, no, you want to, the devil's circumstances, life, even our own bad decisions can get us to a place where we are in trouble zone. But what we need to do is to stand with the gospel of peace and say, no, my life is going to be full of peace. My mind is going to be full of peace. My talk is going to be talking peace. I'm not going to talk up a storm. I'm not going to talk up trouble. I'm not going to talk up thunder and lightning. I'm going to talk up peace. And when we lay ourselves down at night, rather than the mind going into worry zone, speak peace, dream peace, think peace. Just think about the peace of God, which passes, the Bible says, all understanding. Take if you're a computer, I'm going to tell you, take out the disk, you know, the USB. Take it out. Put a new USB stick in there. Let it be full of peace. Let it be peace like a river. Attendeth my, you know, it is well with my soul. Speak it out. It's helping you to have feet with, you know, rather than walking across the beach of life and going, ouch, 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 and the stones of life are there to make us tiptoe and hop around. God says, you can walk in peace with no fear. I mean, the Bible says that, doesn't it? Isn't it an incredible thing? You shall have no fear. You shall have no fear what man can do. You shall have no fear what the devil can do. You shall have no fear of bad news. These are all Bible verses that I'm quoting to you. You know, you shall have no fear. Shall have no fear. Shall have no fear. Why do we have fear? Well, it's because we leave ourselves vulnerable. If you leave yourself vulnerable, fear will try and push you over. And if you want to stand, you've got to close up that gap and say, I shall not be afraid because I understand, I believe in the gospel of perfect peace, which comes from God himself. Hallelujah. Fourthly, there's the shield of faith. And it tells you what this is for. It says to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, it's interesting on this one. It says, take up the shield of faith. You know, there have been times I think, I can imagine in my own life, where I've been putting the armor on, and I've walked out thinking I've got all the armor on here, but I forgot to pick up my shield. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, it's like you leaving the house without your mobile phone. How do you feel about that? Now, I know some of you say, oh, thank God for that. You know, for me, it's like you're cutting off my right arm or something. And it's like, oh, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Well, just as passionate as we might be to have our phone with us, because we think, well, it's so I can keep in touch. Take up your shield of faith. Be as passionate to keep your shield of faith with you all times. People are walking around with their phones. People have got their phones out right now, but I'm sure you're reading the Bible, aren't you? Or taking notes or something. It's okay. You know, we've all the time, it's like the phone is memory resonant. Let's have the shield up. The shield of faith. When you go out of work, take your shield of faith with you. When you're meeting with people, have the shield of faith with you. When you go to bed at night, lay the shield over the top of you. Let the shield of faith be there. Its Bible says, take up. Notice those words, take up. Say it with me. Take up. One more time. Take up. You've got to take it up. Take up that shield of faith. We have to purposefully take up the shield of faith. Faith, by the way, is always the key. Any preaching that comes from this platform down the years, if it is just information but doesn't produce faith in us, was just interesting. But when we come and we want to minister a word of from God, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, if it produces faith on the inside, then it was worth it. It was worth coming to church today to have God plant in our hearts, mine too. He's been planting it in me as I was preparing this. Even while I'm preaching it, I'm re-embedding it inside me. The word of God, which produces faith. Which is why we should, just like you're doing, and like you're doing at home, pay real attention to the preaching of the word of God. Because it's the time when God is sowing faith, sowing the seeds of faith in our heart, so that something grows on the inside of us, and so we know how to use the shield of faith. It's all about faith. It's not about faith for itself. So we're not talking about optimism. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We're talking about faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking about faith in. It's not about just faith on its own. There's a lot of people in the world doing lectures to encourage people to have a positive mental attitude. Well, I'd rather have a positive mental attitude than a negative one, wouldn't you? But actually, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something far greater than that. We're talking about faith in a Savior who died for you, who rose again for you, who is living for you, and by His Holy Spirit is with you. You're talking about faith in someone. We're talking about not just faith for itself, but faith, confidence, actually. Let's use that word. Our confidence in God, and therefore our confidence to know how to stand. So we're living with life. Something comes back, you know, it's a difficult situation. But we take our shield of faith and we say, this is not going to hurt me. This is not going to knock me over. I'm taking the shield of faith. And we're talking about Roman soldiers' shields here that were big enough that you could hide behind. The whole thing that you could hide behind. Many years ago, I was preaching in France. And I'd taken off on quite a long trip. And we'd gone down in the south of France, and I had a lady who was an interpreter for me. Her name was Annie. We know her very well, and we were talking about the shield of faith, and she misunderstood what I said. So she was translating it into French, and she, instead of face, she got hold of the word face. Faith, face. So she started, face, you need a shield of, and then I set off on to describe the Roman shield of faith, you know, and said, it's not a little face, she said. I said, you need faces that are this big. At which point she looked at me and she said, I think I've made a mistake. We need a shield of faith, ladies and gentlemen, don't we? That is big enough not to hide behind in the way of like afraid, but to hide behind by way of protection. You can be fully protected. Every bit of you can stand protected. When you go to work tomorrow, take your shield with you. Take it up. Take it with you. Take the shield of faith. Because God is going to with you, and He has given you what you need to be able to stand tall in the difficult times of life. Hallelujah. And the faith thing is this. I mean, it says it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that He is able to guard that which I've entrusted into Him for that day. When you know that, you've taken up your shield, and you say, I know in whom I have believed. I know, I'm convinced that the Almighty God is my God, and when I pick up the shield of faith in my circumstances, in my job, in my moment of life, I am going to be safe and secure. Hallelujah. Quickly moving, number 5 is the helmet of salvation. Helmet sits on the head, normally. It's there to protect your mind. God wants to brainwash you. He wants to wash your brains. Actually, there's stuff in our brains that need washing out. Memories, all the stuff. Sometimes somebody said something to you 12 years ago and you still think about it regularly on a night. It's time to get your brains washed. Time for me to get my brain washed. I've had some stuff said to me and it's like, hang on a minute, I need to wash my... God wants to come and help us to protect our minds in a good way. We need to let Him wash away the memories of hurts and past situations, and give us a new way of thinking. So that when God speaks to us, we're listening to Him with a fresh heart, with a fresh mind, with a fresh thinking, and we say, "Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening." See, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: "Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." God wants to transform us. If we're going to not be on the floor all the time, but we're going to be able to stand, there's a work of the Holy Spirit needs to happen in our lives. There's a transforming work. I can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need occasionally the computer that I work on needs a new update, or it needs a new operating system. And these boys around me, they sort it all out and say, "There you go, it's up to date now, it's been refreshed, it's had an update." You know, we need a spiritual update sometimes in our minds, that we clear out the junk, we clear out the stuff that hurts us in our minds, and we let God speak something fresh to us, that we hear God say to us, "You know, I love you, I'm with you, and I forgive you, and you're precious and honored in my sight." That's what the Bible says about the way that God thinks about us. It says you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you, I want to think like Jesus, don't you? When the devil comes, I think I want to be in the place where I think like Jesus. When life throws a curved ball at me, I want to think like Jesus. When I feel tired inside myself, I want to think like Jesus, who was able to have the will of his Father in his heart, which persuaded him to do the things that he needed to do. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Number six is the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. But it's not just the Bible as a book. It's the word that it contains. The word becomes Spirit when the Holy Spirit, who inspired it in the first place, comes and makes that word a living word, and it's inside me, and I decide it's the only offensive bit of all the weapons or the armor that it gives us. We've only got one thing to fight with, and the thing we fight with is the sword of the Spirit. Jesus did it. When the devil came to him in the temptations, do you remember? Jesus answered him and said, "It is written." What was he doing? He was using the sword of the Spirit. And it's not just using an empty verse like a poetry. You know, you can quote Shakespeare all you want, and it's just intellectually stimulating. But when you quote this, and you've got the Holy Spirit breathing into this, when you speak this out, this then becomes not just a word, but it becomes a living word. It becomes an active word. It becomes a word that the Holy Spirit is behind, that He then makes it live. He makes it work. And you send out a sword of the Spirit, and somehow it goes to work and goes to work and goes to work and goes to work. All you did was speak it in faith. But the Holy Spirit takes it and uses it and makes it something. I mean, you've got to remember, it was that same word that brought creation. Our kids are talking about creation today in our children's ministry. How did creation happen? By the word. He spoke and worlds were formed. Jesus spoke to the waves when the disciples were in the boat. Do you remember when they were sinking? He just said to the wind, "Stop it." And he said to the waves, "Be still." Just like that. Three words. And God wants you to use the sword of the Spirit with the troubles of life that are around you, and to be able to say to some of those troubles might be inside you, "Stop it, be still." Some of the circumstances around, you know, there might be a real troubling person who lives next door to you, or you work by the side of, or something like that. You know, you don't tell them, right? But you can say in the Spirit, "It's time for this wind to stop. It's time for the waves to stop. I'm going to live in safety. I'm going to live in peace. I'm going to live in joy. I'm going to live in this place of goodness." Why? Because God has made it that we don't need to fall over, but we can stand. It is the Holy Spirit making something powerful happening. The Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord." And you know, when you take a verse and you start to speak a verse over your circumstances, and the Holy Spirit is taking that verse and using it for you, it is by His Spirit, says the Lord, and that means you can't lose. Hallelujah. When you take up the sword of the Spirit, you can slay a giant. When you take up the sword of the Spirit, you can overcome an enemy. When you take up the sword of the Spirit, you can become the victor and not the victim, because God is with you. And lastly, number seven, pray in the Spirit. This is the last item of the armor. And God says to you, it's important who you talk to. Pray in the Spirit. Who do you talk to when you're in trouble? Who do you talk to? Talk to yourself? Well, the problem about me talking to myself is the answer I give is never going to be bigger than what I can see. Whereas when I go and talk to God, the answer that I get is very different than, because he sees way beyond what I can see. Hallelujah. You know, and it's connect with the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Some friends will tell you some stuff. The media will tell you some stuff. But I tell you, when you talk to Jesus, he's going to tell you some stuff. And that will do you good. For his words bring life. His words bring hope. His words bring healing. His words tell you, you are loved. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to make a good connection. We need to pray in the Spirit at all times. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, 26, it says, the Spirit will help us in our weaknesses. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we don't need to fall. And if we have fallen, we don't need to stay down there. This is a day where the Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now and speaking to you where you're watching me and says, it's time for you to stand up. You can stand up. You're not going to stand up and fall and stand up and fall and stand up. If you will put on the armor of God, if you will put these things into practice, you will stand. Faith will grow inside your heart and you will be able to stand well for all the days that are coming. Hallelujah. That's not just a word that's personal to you and me. That's a word for us as a church. In our day, in our time, in our future. I want to say, looking back, next week we'll do quite a bit of this. So I'm not going to say too much about this week because we'll do it next week as we tell the story. But when we look back, God has been faithful to us. Amen. So faithful. When I look back, I look around this place and I look at some of you. You've been faithful and you've stood with me. You've stood with the rest of our team. You've stood sometimes when it's been difficult. You've stood when others haven't, but you decided, I'm going to stand by where I am and what God has called me to do and the people that I believe that God has called me to go and serve by the side. I want to say to you today, thank you, thank you. For me and Rachel personally, thank you for standing with us. Some of you have stood with us since 1989, when we first came to Wakefield, and you're still standing with me. This old guy here, he stood with me for 50 years now. I was 9, plus VAT and all the rest of it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, David. And I could go around many other people who are here and are watching and who will be in the second service. You've stood with me. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing. That's what God wants us to do, to be people who can stand. People who've helped us with bookkeeping. People who've helped us with paperwork. People who've helped us with pastoring. People who've helped us and stood with us, prayed for us, loved us. People who've helped us be able to go to the nations of the world like we've just done. How were we able to go and speak to 700 DCI pastors in Africa over the last few weeks? How did we do that? We did that because of faithful people who stood with us. What, you look at the school and you think, like, how's that happening? Because people have been faithful and giving. People have stood with us. Think about the Bible school in India. How did that happen? Because people have been faithful with us. Think about the orphanage out there. Because people have been, you know, there is a fruit that comes because of standing faithfully before God. We've got to make a decision. And I want to encourage you, make a decision today. I'm going to stand. Maybe you've been wobbling. It's time to stand. You can. The grace of God reaches out to you. You know, you might have been through some really, really difficult stuff. I know, I'm sorry. I know what that feels like. But God says, stand up again. It's time to stand again. Leave some of that stuff down there. Take up your shield. Take care of yourself by way of putting on the armor of God. And then start to speak with the sword of the Spirit. About your future, about your hope, about your life that is still to come. Because God is not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with us. And by the way, he's not going to have finished that until everybody has heard about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that there is going to come, is coming, starting in some places, like I said earlier, revival that will sweep this nation, this world, with the good news of Jesus Christ. This world is not going to have a hopeless end because we have an endless hope. His name is Jesus. and we're going to keep him center of all that we do and of all that we say and of all that we think. And having done all, you've got a song about standing, haven't you? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's stand. As you sing this song, why don't you stand? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. And do everything in love.